American migrants killed in U.S. strike on Yemen. With the 13 Hours Main News Bulletin on Phoenix FM, I'm Kafula Mulenga. The Medical for Quality Healthcare in Zambia, MQHZ, is calling for urgent investment in HPV screening and vaccination, following revelations that cervical cancer claims over 1,900 lives each year in Zambia. Medical for Quality Healthcare in Zambia Director General Dr. Quince Mwabu is calling for increased investment in human papillomavirus or HPV screening to identify a common virus that can lead to cervical cancer if left undetected. Dr. Mwabu stresses that early diagnosis through HPV testing can save lives, ease the financial burden on families, and strengthen the nation's healthcare system. He is urging government, policymakers, and healthcare providers to prioritize funding for HPV testing programs, invest in equipment and training, and expand awareness campaigns, especially in rural areas. The MQHZ Director General is also urging parents to vaccinate girls aged 9 to 14 against HPV, saying collective action, including a national action plan, improved access to healthcare services, and united efforts all remain key to eliminating cervical cancer by 2030.
Nearly 2,000 women in our country lose their lives to cervical cancer every year. This staggering number demands serious action. That's why we must prioritize HPV testing and treatment, embracing innovative approaches like self-collection of samples and vaccinate young girls against HPV, which can prevent up to 90% of cervical cancer cases in our country. In line with the World Health Organization ambitious goal to eliminate cervical cancer by 2030, our country can make significant progress when government, policymakers, healthcare providers, and also communities join forces to ensure every woman has access.
Energy Minister Makozo Chikote has invited UK-based Echo 8 Investments Limited to establish clean energy operations in Zambia as part of efforts to end load shedding and achieve energy security by December 2025. Speaking at Zambia House in London, Mr. Chikote welcomed Echo 8's proposal to deploy up to 5,000 megawatts of renewable energy within 6 months of approvals, and has stressed the urgent need for investors capable of delivering timely results towards Zambia's long-term energy goal to generate 9,000 megawatts and become a regional power hub through new interconnector projects. Echo 8 founder David Green has assured the minister that his company, backed by immediate capital, is ready to install solar, hybrid and advanced storage systems featuring patented 3D solar technologies and rooftop wind units. And Director of Planning and Information Mwape Chipala says the government is ready to fast-track processes for credible investors, noting that even a gigawatt of power could help stabilize Zambia's national grid. Meanwhile, Senior Financial Analyst for Petroleum Alan Mutonga has emphasized the need for innovation and speed in delivering energy solutions during a meeting also attended by Deputy Head of Mission Lubu Nkumalo, Councillor Economic Kasali Kamulenga, and First Secretary Trade Yvonne Zulu. This is contained in a statement issued by Speedwell Mupuchi, First Secretary Press at the Zambian High Commission in London. Agriculture expert Dr. Edifai Hamukale has urged political leaders to emulate the strategic vision of Zambia's founding father Dr. Kenneth Kaunda in driving national development. As Zambia Today observes the annual Kenneth Kaunda Day in honor of the late founding father of Zambia, Dr. Hamukale says Dr. Kaunda's comprehensive interventions in the agricultural sector serve as a blueprint for today's leadership. He highlights how Dr. Kaunda established the University of Zambia Unza School of Agriculture, the Natural Resources Development College, and district-level farmer training centers to build a skilled workforce. Dr. Hamukale also notes that exchange programs and scholarships under Dr. Kaunda's leadership helped foster ongoing knowledge transfer, with many farmers still benefiting today from improved crop varieties and critical research data produced by these centers. He is calling on today's policymakers, from local councillors to national leaders, to adopt a forward-looking approach, prioritizing long-term planning, capacity building, and strong institutional support to achieve sustained economic growth and social progress for Zambia.
The building of the University of Zambia, where we have the School of Agriculture, the School of Veterinary Sciences domiciled, we have other institutions like the Natural Resources Development College, we have Zambia College of Agriculture in Pika, Zambia College of Agriculture in Monze, name them. And that's the kind of focus we need in every leader, starting from councillors, MPs, all the way up to the top. We need to be strategic thinkers, looking into the future, looking beyond ourselves. This is what KK brought.
The Advocates for Democratic Governance Foundation, ADEG, is urging the Electoral Commission of Zambia to conduct voter registration alongside the ongoing national registration exercise. ADEG Executive Director Gideon Musonda says aligning the two processes would make it more convenient for citizens and significantly boost voter registration ahead of future elections. Mr. Musonda explains that the mobile NRC campaign is targeting 3.5 million Zambians, including newly eligible 18-year-olds. He believes combining voter registration with NRC issuance would reduce logistical challenges, lower costs for both citizens and the commission, and streamline operations. Mr. Musonda adds that synchronizing these efforts would strengthen the foundation for more inclusive and credible elections while maximizing outreach and efficiency.
We respectfully call upon the Electoral Commission of Zambia to consider bringing forward the planned mass mobile voter registration exercise to run concurrently with the current national registration card drive. This would not only increase convenience for eligible citizens, but also potentially boost voter registration numbers by reducing logistical challenges and costs. By conducting these exercises concurrently, we can ensure a more streamlined process, increased efficiency, and reduced costs for citizens.
The Africa Safety Award for Excellence, AfriSafe, is calling for greater investment in digital literacy and capacity building to transform workplace safety across the continent. AfriSafe President Helen Mwamba says that as the world marks World Safety Day under the theme Revolutionizing Health and Safety, the Role of AI and Digitalization at Work, a lack of investment in digital skills and organizational readiness is holding back progress in creating safer work environments. Ms. Mwamba notes that artificial intelligence and digital tools offer major opportunities for early hazard detection, real-time monitoring, and predictive risk management. She, however, warns that technology alone is not enough, needing a well-trained workforce to implement and manage these systems responsibly. AfriSafe is urging African governments, industry bodies, and training institutions to collaborate on regional programs that build digital capacity, support knowledge exchange, and set common standards for AI integration in occupational health and safety.
AI may detect a hazard, but it takes a safety leader to act on it. It may optimize processes, but it is up to us to ensure processes protect lives. As we integrate these tools, we must also invest in capacity building, digital literacy, and inclusive innovation. Let us make sure that there is no one left behind in this technological shift, not the frontliner, not the small businesses, not the safety officer who may be new to AI, but is deeply experienced in hazard recognition. We need everyone on the table.
You're listening to the Lunchtime News on Phoenix FM. We have global news after the break.
Phoenix FM.
Check. There we go.
106.7 in Monze.
At least 68 African migrants have been killed in a U.S. airstrike on a detention center in Houthi-controlled northwestern Yemen, the armed group's TV channel says. Al-Masira reported that another 47 migrants were injured, most of them critically, when the center in Saada province was bombed, and posted graphic footage showing multiple bodies covered in the